listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
To another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM here on a beautiful, beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Russell Smith joined by Trey Wallace and Bear. We got a good show coming up for you. Gentlemen, how you doing, Bear? I'm actually surprised you're in studio right now.
Doing pretty good, Russ. April Fools!
Doing pretty good, Russ. Oh, man. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Blitz, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Happy April Fool's Day out there. Today is April 1st, 2020. Hope everyone is doing well out there. Hope everyone is staying fool free. That's the theme for today, Brandon.
Staying what?
Fool free.
Oh, free of fools?
Yeah, free of fools. You don't want it. You don't need it. Plus, not to mention, is there any kind of April Fool's joke that could be any worse than just the year? Like, the best April Fool's joke is basically the year 2020.
Which company today is going to accidentally destroy themselves with a terrible and insensitive April Fool's joke?
I would love for Corona Beer to have some kind of April Fool's joke today. I think it'd be funny. Obviously, very insensitive. Very insensitive. But I think it'd be funny.
There's going to be a company that messes up.
Yeah, there probably will. We'll see what happens on April Fool's Day. I don't know if we have any big plans, or do we? Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Rick Butler. Joined to my left is Brandon Orrick. Joined to my right is the one and only Charlie Collier. And then, of course, we got Chance Collins in the house as well. Good morning, everyone. How are y'all doing?
Doing pretty good, Rick.
What's up, guys? Feeling pretty good. Feeling pretty great. I give that a 7. Your April Fool's joke. It was pretty good.
It needed more steam after the initial line, right? Everyone knows the Drive's initial line. Hello and good afternoon. Welcome to another stellar edition.
I would say Brandon failed you.
I would say Brandon totally lost my character. I lost all sense of character.
You did a great job. Like, listening, you know, not in front of you guys. You did a great job. I actually chuckled when you did your whole Russell spiel. But Brandon kind of, when he went to the Bear, he got scared.
Oh. I'm not scared.
You got a little scared when you went to your Bear impersonation.
Bear is hard to impersonate, though. He can be difficult. Because he's very unpredictable.
Bear's easy to impersonate, but I can't say that on the air.
Well, you just did.
No, I can't say what I would say doing a Bear impression on the air.
Oh, okay. That's true. It's definitely not lunchtime or, you know, FCC friendly.
That would make sense. So, Brandon, you're doing well. Chance, doing well. Charlie, how you doing?
I'm glad that Brandon messed up before it got to me. Because I didn't know, was I supposed to be Trey? And how would I have impersonated that? I don't know.
Yeah, we were kind of just running on a whim there, nice and easy. Do you think we tricked anybody, Brandon? Do you think anybody actually thought the Drive was in studio today? No. But that's all right. Stay fool free today, everybody. Hopefully that works. Does anybody have any historic, great, legendary April Fool's moments? Like, has anybody ever just been fooled real bad before? Or gotten somebody?
I don't think I've ever been, like, fooled too bad. Maybe just, like, for a couple minutes. But one year, this is years and years ago, was when my mother was still alive. And me and a girlfriend at the time convinced her that a baby was on the way. But it got bad. And like, we went with it. We went with it for like weeks. And like, my mom started telling like my brother overseas. He started telling people. Then like, after a while, it was like 100 people knew.
What?
And it was like, wow, this is bad. Like, we have to shut it down. This is probably not, didn't even shut it down until probably like a month and a half later. But it was bad. Like, people were wanting to start buying stuff. Yeah, that was a bad one. We thought it was going to be funny, but it actually kind of turned out kind of.
What was the thought process between kind of just letting it fizzle out over, you know, I don't know, 48 hours or so versus keeping this thing going for like a month and a half? That's going to the extreme right there.
Well, it was like, it was one of those things where it was just really like messing with my mom at first. And then like, you know, it just kind of like fizzled out. And then like other people knew. And then like my sister knew it was like a prank. And so she wanted to keep it going. Like, no, let's see. Let's just keep it going. And then like, it just, like I said, it got bad. It was very embarrassing at the end.
Hey, but I bet you felt some kind of a little bit of pride though, right? Like think about how many people that you got fooled with one classic April Fool's prank. Like I would imagine you felt pretty prideful about it.
It was funny for like seriously like the first couple of weeks. That's probably why like, you know, like you say, past 48 hours, because it was funny the first couple of weeks. It really was.
The first 48 or the first couple of weeks. That's the great keyword there. I know that like when I was a kid, my parents every single year would either tell me that we're moving, or that they're having another baby, or that I'm getting like pulled out of school, which at the time was the worst thing imaginable, leaving your friends and stuff.
What?
Now I would have been loved.
What?
I would have loved to be like, hey, you're getting pulled from school. I'd be like, okay.
That was fine. The best thing ever.
So those April Fool pranks have certainly came and gone before. No doubt about it.
I'm going to go saran wrap my neighbors and our toilets when I get back.
What about the corona?
I'll put gloves on.
Should you be in their house?
Oh, I'm already in their house. They're the neighbors that we interact with.
Oh.
So basically, their theory is that if they're going to get it, they've already had it. They've already been interacting?
Right.
Okay. That makes sense.
It's just three more of them.
Well, gentlemen, with the April Fool's conversation out of the way, we can go ahead and begin the show for you today. Not a whole lot of breaking news, sports information, but we'll give you what we got along the way.
The listeners of Three and Out were calling us the voluntary reaction, saying that we should
because of the NIT championship.
Yeah, I saw Tennessee. Tennessee unfortunately took a big L in that NIT tournament, which I'm not thrilled about. Look, I feel like, and I don't know how they did the whole thing. I know that they are much more respectable, high moral, high class people than, you know, I consider myself, and I'm going to be honest, I consider you guys too. We are degenerates. Like, we would have had the whole thing rigged to where Tennessee would have, you know, just maybe had a couple of close encounters along the way, but when it got to the championship game against Memphis, there was no way that Tennessee wasn't coming away with that victory. They went with the real simulation, and unfortunately just a little bit short for Tennessee.
I'll be honest, I didn't get to see a lot of it.
Yeah.
I saw the last 4 seconds of the third quarter.
Oh, wow. Oh, see, you got a good game analysis for us, don't you?
Yeah, we were down big a lot.
Yeah.
But
then we came back, it looks
like. We did. We surged back in the third quarter. There was a desperation three by Pons at the buzzer at the end of the third to tie it, but
oh,
he missed.
Oh, my God.
He missed.
Oh, he missed?
Yeah.
Not good.
And then I heard Nate get pretty loud a few times in here. I think we made a run. We might have taken the lead, but ultimately just not enough.
I heard a moment when there was a two-handed slam jam, something like that. I don't know. There was chaos in the studio when somebody had dunked it.
Nate said Vescovi went 1 for 16.
Oh, can't have that. Can't have that. That's not good.
And that's your freshman of the year.
You're damn right that's our freshman of the year. That's a video game. We're in real life. Hey, well, let me ask you this. If we're in the NIT right now, like what would the overall feel be? Like if we were around this championship game of the NIT, you think people around here would be, you know, let's just say the sports world didn't get canceled, right? We're in the championship game of the NIT. How much do you think people would have cared?
If we made it to the championship game,
uh-huh.
I think people would have cared.
You think everybody on board? Or do you think there'd still be people who would have been like, you know what, this is the NIT, and I don't, I'm not celebrating, you know, the B level tournament.
I think most people would have got on board.
I think so too.
Especially if, like, maybe not at first, but I mean, if you make it to Madison Square Garden, I think people would get it, would jump on.
And I feel like the NIT championship was always, you know, a decently talked about event. Even if the whole tournament was, like, I think the championship typically was, because at the very least you almost always had two fairly big names. But I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the NIT.
I know.
But it doesn't matter. Sports are canceled.
Yeah,
2020.
Sports are canceled. Oof. Hey, a little bit of a weather update real quick before we head into break real quick. We have 6 straight days of sunshine.
Is that an April Fool's?
No, this is not an April Fool's joke.
No.
Today is going to be sunshine. The next 5 days are going to be sunshine. And then you have 9 straight days of rain.
Oh, great.
And once again, not April Fool's. Just have a great day. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio. We'll be right back after this quick break. All right, back here on The Blitz, 10:19 a.m., Rick Butler, Chance Collins, Brandon Ork, and Charlie Collier hanging out with you as we are just starting the show off, moving into our second segment of the show. If you would like to get your voice heard, you can go ahead and give us a call. We got open phone lines right now, 865-546-8200, and today we will start in a little bit of familiar territory. I think a lot of the news that we've been getting the last week or so has been revolving around when these, really, seasons are going to be played. Right now, nobody has any idea. It's just all speculation. Brandon, you were telling me that it was speculation that MLB could potentially start July 4th. Charlie,
well,
you sent us
I don't know if that's anything that's been talked about. Well, it was just a piece that said that could be the next best thing.
But nonetheless, still, you know, speculation that's kind of out there for the public to digest. Charlie, you were telling us yesterday that, you know, hey, there's a potential that college football could come back between October and January, right? All these different things, that's really a lot of speculation because we don't even know what next week is going to look like. But that's kind of where our story starts out today. According to ESPN, the NFL plans to start its 2020 season on time in September, multiple executives said on Tuesday, despite the global coronavirus pandemic. Here's the quote. "That is our expectation," Executive Vice President and General Counsel Jeff Pasch said during a media briefing. "Am I certain of that? I'm not certain I'll be here tomorrow, but I'm planning on it. And in the same way, we are planning on having a full season." Brandon, yesterday you said that you thought out of all the different leagues that the NFL was most likely to go ahead without really changing, or I guess with changing as less things as they need to happen, I guess as minimal things, there's the word I was looking for, as minimal things that needs to happen to start their season. And this is just kind of following into that thought that you had yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much money. I mean, the NFL just brings in so much money, and they just judging on everything that's gone on in the past few weeks to a month, they are the last. I feel like they're the last league to kind of, or were the last league to do anything to kind of take steps. And I mean, it makes sense. The NBA and NHL were happening right now. Major League Baseball is about to start. I mean, the NFL just ended. So, I mean, I guess from that perspective, it makes sense why they would be the last. But, I mean, they looks like they're still planning to go full steam ahead. I mean, they moved the draft, but still having their draft, where other leagues are considering postponing.
Yeah, it's really interesting, and I – you're definitely right, and we kind of start to see the path that this thing is carving out as we go with smaller things like the draft or just like players' meetings that'll come up in the next couple months. But I know what you're thinking. You're thinking in your head, hey, well, if the NFL starts in September just on normal time, is it going to be any different? We've had a lot of situations come up Could games potentially be played in front of no fans? Are there going to be fans? Is this going to be in a neutral stadium, an empty stadium, a later start, all that kind of stuff? And here is the broad answer to it. This comes from the same guy, Jeff Pasch, the executive vice president. He said, all of our discussions, all of our focus has been on a normal traditional season, starting on time, playing in front of fans, in our regular stadiums, and going through a full 16-game regular season and a full set of playoffs. That's our focus. Wasn't the 17th game supposed to also start this season, or was that being saved for the 2020
season? No, so that was the 2021 season.
Okay, it's so just regardless the, of what just happened the playoffs. With that. Okay, so wait, so the playoffs are getting changed in the 2020 season, but the playoffs and the regular season will be in effect for the 2021 season?
Yes.
A little confusing. Okay, I'm on the same page.
They needed an extra year to figure out the extra game and all that.
I guess maybe it was a scheduling thing. Like maybe they couldn't get to the stadiums in time or something like that. But okay, that makes sense. Man, but that's what it looks like. It looks like the NFL, their expectation is to start a normal season. Just like it was September of 2019 or 2018 or 2017 or whenever it was. Chance, what do you think about what the NFL is doing, kind of what Brandon was thinking with, hey, if there is any league to go ahead and just start this thing, it's likely the NFL. It looks like that's what they want to do. What do you think about all of that?
Yeah, I remember when we talked about it. Like, I mean, I agreed with Brandon. It's the same thing. Like, it's just too much money as far as what the teams bring in, merchandise. They can still thrive without ticket sales. That's the one thing about the NFL, the TV deals that they have right now in place, just the streaming, I mean, the Sunday ticket packages. And then I'm sure what they're thinking at the same time, you know, as long as they mandate some testing where, I mean, I'm sure players would have to be tested, you know, prior to games, each team, anybody involved with being at the game, all, you know, officials, everything. So they're thinking probably they can still thrive in the market, because what else is anybody going to have to watch if the NBA doesn't start back up maybe until, you know, late summer, or until maybe even just until like December, just pushing it back and just doing a tournament. Like, there's the only thing that'll be around would be the NFL if baseball can't get out there and do anything either. So, and the NFL would still bring in more viewers than baseball, even if baseball is able to start. So they don't really have to worry about baseball. But yeah, like it's the money, man. They're not gonna not play unless they're forced, like, nationwide lockdown by, you know, the United States government. The NFL is gonna play.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And just kind of knowing that, hey, the NFL has a schedule, and frankly, like, if they were really expecting their own season to likely be delayed, to likely be postponed, or you know, potentially even moved or canceled, then I think that obviously we would have seen some of these things start to unfold with things like the draft, right? But with the NFL's consistent message that, hey, we don't want to change the draft, we're not going to change the date of the draft, all those things are going to happen as expected, or at least as we've been talking about in the last couple weeks, then yeah, it makes a lot of sense that they're going to try to do whatever they can to get the season on track in the exact same way it's been going for this upcoming fall. But you guys are definitely right with the money situation. And really, that kind of bleeds into the college football conversation even more.
Yeah, I mean, the college, the whole college football situation is, it's tough. It's tough to navigate because, I mean, you look at most college football programs across the country, and I guess we won't get into it in a ton of detail right now. Probably save it for the next segment because we're getting up against it. But you've got a lot of programs. It doesn't matter how high level you are. I mean, you could look at Tennessee. If they did not play the football season, think of how much money the football program brings in. I'm not even talking about to the city of Knoxville, to Knox County. I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about the university. Just the University of Tennessee, how much money that brings in for the athletic department, for the university. That is a ton of money just from one football season. And then the only other sport that generates revenue is basketball. That's the only other sport that generates revenue. The rest, you're either breaking even or you're losing money. Football foots the bill. And that's not just the case for Tennessee. It's the case for football programs across the and athletic departments across the country. And we can kind of dive into that on the other side.
Yeah, that's very well said. And you're 100% right. Like, the umbrella that the football revenue has to cover is huge. And it's astounding. And it is really something that matters so much to, and like what you said, right? Not just the city, but the university, but not just the University of Tennessee. Every single university that relies on these major programs to provide the revenue for the university, right? Like, you're absolutely right. Softball's not going to cut it. Track and field not going to cut it. Swimming and diving not going to cut it. If the university wants to continue on like they've been doing in past couple years, well, of course they've been using the football money. But we will continue that story on the other side of the break here, and we'll give you a little bit more into the college football world and how that's being affected, especially by the economic side of things. See how the global pandemic could potentially affect our football in the fall. Not good. And that's not an April Fool's joke either. I'm worried about no football. All right, we'll figure it all out on the other side of the break. Still got open lines. Go ahead and give us a call, but we'll be right back after this. Last week, and let me tell you, it's been tough. We have no idea what we're doing with all these cords and computers and stuff. Like, sure, we got four people, it's a little bit easier to distribute the, you know, the management of the technology. We are drowning in the mornings occasionally. Sometimes we get it together, but we gotta get Charlie in line. The podcast didn't go up for like 20 minutes late today.
Lots you mean of the Periscope.
The Periscope, yeah. Now I messed that one up. A lot of things like that.
I wouldn't say we're drowning. We're
bounce back.
You're right. We're not drowning.
I'd say it's like a boat. We're taking on a little bit of water, but we're fine.
We're trying to cover some of the plugs.
Yeah. You can blame it on COVID-19. It's acceptable.
Yeah. You can pretty much just look at this, Brandon. I got to change the Periscope right now. COVID-19. Can you believe it? Messing up our Periscope. Messing up everything. Yeah. Messing up sports. We already knew that. That's not any breaking news. That's not an April Fool's joke. So, Brandon, you have a story, is that correct, on kind of the college football world and some other things about it, and even some executives kind of talking about the whole revenue situation. Is that correct?
Yeah. So, sorry, I just saw something really disturbing on Twitter.
Would you like to share it with the class?
No, it's not. No.
Oh.
No.
Bummer.
I mean, it was just a very large woman in a grocery store with no clothes on. It's very disturbing. The things you see on Twitter.
Twitter is, wow. I don't even know what to call it.
Send that my way.
The greatest invention in history.
Maybe.
April Fool's.
Brandon,
we've been stalling for like a minute now.
Well, sorry. I'm sorry. I mean, what do you want me to do? I can't function normally after I see that. But yeah, college football.
I can't function. Okay, go ahead.
Multiple athletic directors think that this is from Stadium.
Okay.
Multiple athletic directors think that programs could just shut down if there is no 2020 football season. An anonymous athletic director told Brett McMurphy that if there is no season, we will be effed. Blanked.
Beep. Wow.
Said it would be devastating.
So that is a anonymous athletic director. So who knows what, you know, what level of school it is or how big the school is or even how much they use the revenue. But, man, I really got to believe that. I don't care if it's Tennessee or I don't care if it's Belmont. Maybe not Belmont, but what's a smaller school with a football program? Like, these are so reliant on these programs that Not surprised whatsoever.
McMurphy asked, see if it has a number. Doesn't really have a number of how many athletic directors he asked. But he said that none of them, none of the athletic directors that he asked about if the season would be canceled, none of them gave lower than a 5 ranking, meaning a 50-50 chance, so 1 out of 10. However, several admitted that they probably provided a higher numbered response because they wanted to remain positive and optimistic about having a full season or about having the season.
Okay, so 112 anonymous athletic directors took this survey, scaled from 1 to 10. 1 will not be played, 10 definitely will be played. And you're saying that nobody had less than 5, but he is saying that basically, hey, some of the athletic directors did say that they might have been a little optimistic about their numbers because they want to remain optimistic about the season.
Mm-hmm. That would be correct. Let's see. Ross Bjork told Chuck Carlton of the Dallas Morning News, Bjork, the Texas A&M athletic director, that he could not comprehend playing next season's games in empty stadiums. He said, quote, "You have financing related to that based on ticket sales and advertising and suite sales and donations. So the whole model rises and falls based on football. If there's no spectators, maybe we can play. But if there's no spectators, the economics just don't work. That's what we have to focus on, is that long-term picture."
I mean, if we don't get college football season, we're going to lose a whole lot of programs, and college sports could be changed forever.
Well, I mean, I think it, just look at programs like that have just started or maybe just jumped to the FBS, like a Georgia State who's only had a football program for about 10 years, a program like Georgia Southern or just these small schools that are probably turning a profit, but it's not much. And then you just don't have a football season where you don't bring in anything. And then these Power 5 programs, like I was talking about with Tennessee and all these others, I mean, if you don't have this, where's the money for paying coaches going to come from? If there's no – I mean, just pause football just a second. Think of all the money that the NCAA tournament brings in and how all that money is distributed amongst all the other – all of those teams, that's gone. That money's not there.
Right, and so for a lot of schools, if they didn't get that money, then certainly the football would be even more relied upon at that point. Right?
Yeah, and I mean you've got these programs that rely so heavily on football, and I mean you look at a program like Alabama who focus so much on football and put so much of an emphasis on football that their football team kind of became the front door to their university, and they profit so much on football, and they use all that money not just for football but for the university side and the academic side as well.
There are schools that a large part of their admission is based on their football success. Mm-hmm. That I mean, it was as long as they're successful in football, their admission numbers but applicant numbers continue to raise. But we're going to get a football season in my eyes. I would almost guarantee we get a college football season somehow, some way, just because of the financial crisis it would put the NCAA in if they didn't have one. I mean, I'd imagine most FCS programs, most mid-major programs could not afford to continue to be athletic programs without a college football season. You know, some of these programs that play these pay-for-play games against bigger opponents the first week or two of the year that get, you know, a couple million. Without that, you know, that's the money they use to pay for their entire calendar year of athletics. So maybe it does start in January, you know, like what was suggested on the Paul Feinbaum show yesterday, and that'd certainly be weird, but I think they're going to definitely find a way somehow to play this football season, and it'd be kind of weird, you know, maybe we get like late February and you got Tennessee, Alabama playing the same weekend. Like Tennessee's playing Kentucky in basketball. Just like a lot of weird stuff going on.
That would be nuts. Can you imagine a world where the football season and the basketball season are going on simultaneously? My brain is already in overload from stress levels, from just piercing stress levels of having both those at the same time.
So, see, it already kind of happens. You have a little bit of overlap.
A little, yeah.
You get a little overlap. But nobody really – you have, like, your basketball diehards. But most Tennessee fans are still focused way more on football.
Yeah.
In, like, November and December when Tennessee football is still going on. Could you imagine – and most of those games are not important in early November and when football season's still going on. If you had meaningful conference basketball being played, that'd be a lot. I don't know if I could do it.
You'd have to extend just all sports radio shows, like double their time, you know, just go all the way 24 hours a day, just so you have time to talk about everything.
Are you going to volunteer for the graveyard shift?
Yeah.
You can't do that. We need you right here.
If you give me a mic, I'll sit there from midnight to 2 a.m. and just talk.
Man, the idea of college football beginning in, what was that article, October to January?
They said, yeah, potentially January could start.
That's an interesting thought. And I see that as a definite likelihood, right? Like, I do think that eventually this college football season will get played. And a lot of that is because of the reasons that we've been talking about for the last 15 minutes, right? How many individuals and collectives cannot physically afford a football season? And so if the government will allow it, because that's ultimately the first step, right? Like, that is the ultimate roadblock. It doesn't matter how much you want to play football, basketball. It doesn't matter if these executives want to play. If you physically cannot get these people in place via the government, then it doesn't matter. Now, I don't think we're going to be dealing with, you know, these stay-at-home orders and whatnot into September and November. But who knows? Who knows? So it's really interesting to kind of think about how all that would work. But, man, as long as we get a college football season, I'm okay.
Well, okay. I mean, like Charlie said, I think you get it regardless. I think there's no doubt that you get it because of what we just talked about. I think these programs are in desperate need of the money. You got to play it. But I don't know if it's going to be played on time. I think what those athletic directors said, I think it will be played. It's just will be played on time.
Brandon, speaking of things that will be played and will likely be played on time, I got a story for you about a golf game that's going to be played next month.
Golf?
Golf. And I know, normally, that may not pique your interest, but I can guarantee that it will coming up next.
I don't know. It's going to be tough.
Guaranteed.
Good stuff, Chuck.
Great choice.
This is better.
Great choice.
Little rock and roll.
If you haven't noticed the last couple days, I've been trying to switch things up a little bit more.
I don't know. I feel like you've been going really heavy. I feel like you've been really heavy country.
I played two country songs yesterday, and one of them was John Deere Green.
Feels like we just call him out every time, so maybe it seems like it happens more than it does.
No, Brennan's right. He's been going pretty heavy on
that's not true, Chance.
What?
Sorry, that was a little defensive, Chance. I think we're all a little on edge with this virus. My bad.
Charles.
Chancellor.
It's April Fool's. Let's not be a fool.
Yeah, that was the moral of the story of the day. All right?
I didn't listen.
Johnny be good, though. Very good. Always a classic. Back to the Future.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I love that one.
What was the dance called? Was it just the Under the Sea? Does anyone
something
remember?
Like I can't remember the dance name, but I just always remember that from Back to the Future as well.
Yeah.
I've never seen Back to the Future.
Never what? Seen Back to the Future?
Nope. You got homework tonight, kid.
Yeah, homework.
It felt like a stupid premise for a movie. So
don't
never
feel bad,
it.
Chuck. Don't feel bad. I hadn't seen it until like last year. It's not that great.
You ever seen the comedian?
It's timeless.
It's not that great.
It's Marty McFly.
Especially after I've seen John Mulaney make fun of it. Like, I don't know, have any interest in watching
John Mulaney.
Oh, he rips it, and it's so funny. Go look it up later.
Is he even funny?
Yeah, he's like very, very funny.
He's pretty funny. I like him.
I'm a stand-up comedy expert, Chance.
I don't like the Back to the Future slander. I'm not here for it. I don't want it. Number one, number two, and number three, they're all timeless classics.
That's debatable.
There are three? I thought there were just two.
Quick, really, really fast before we get on to, I guess, more pressing issues here at the top of the hour. Charles.
Yes?
You said you're a stand-up comedy expert.
I am.
I'm gonna go ahead and I'm going to test how much I believe in your stand-up comedy.
I listen to like 8 hours a day, so.
No. Do you think Dane Cook is funny?
I think he's overrated, but he has some funny bits.
Oh my God, he's not funny at all. That's what you're supposed to say. He's so overrated, and he's not funny.
I did say he's
Who
overrated.
Who is this guy,
But he
Dane
has some funny
Cook?
Bits.
Yeah, Dane Cook.
Brandon, have you ever heard of Dane Cook?
I've heard of him. I don't think I've heard any
Who's
of this
Who's your
stuff.
Top three, Charles?
Oh, that's tough.
He's not good, y'all.
Hannibal Buress.
Okay, I'll allow it.
Dan Cummins.
Who that is?
Yeah, who that is?
Who that is?
He's really funny. That's who.
Are we talking all time here, Chance, or are we just going like current?
Yeah, all time. No, all time.
I'm just talking who I like to, who I'm listening to right now. Yeah, or who I like to listen to the most right now.
Come on, Chuck.
Chad Daniels.
I don't know who that is either.
Or Tom Segura.
I don't know about all time. My top three going right now: Dave Chappelle, Bill Burr, Tom Segura.
I think mine was going to be Chappelle, Burr, Mulaney.
Mulaney's up there too, and Daniel Tosh.
Tosh is funny. He's very underrated as stand-up. I like Tosh. I'm definitely going to go Chappelle number one. I like Bill
Burr. I love Chappelle too.
A lot. Number three, it could be a toss-up between a bunch of them.
Wait, who is your number two? I missed it.
Eddie Murphy. Number two would have to be – I like Bill Burr a lot.
Too. Okay.
Yeah, Tom Segura, when he was in Knoxville, it was the week after Tennessee lost to BYU, and he came out on stage and spent the first at least 7 minutes just ripping Tennessee football.
Oh, that's brutal.
It hurt a lot.
Oh, that does hurt. Because that's one of the, you know, you want to go to see him because you want to cheer, and then you're like, bro.
And the thing was, he was still so funny the way he did it. It was just like, ah.
That's man. Classic. So, real quick, before we get into hour number two, got a couple more minutes left. I guaranteed you, Brandon, that I had a golf game that you would be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the match, Tiger Woods versus Phil Mickelson? They needed the four playoff holes to win the $9 million prize. Do you remember this? It was on pay-per-view?
Like a year or two ago?
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Yeah.
So the match, the sequel, is happening, right? It's going to be still Tiger Woods versus Phil Mickelson. But a couple of wrinkles have been added in. Each one is getting a tag team partner, if you will. So here it is. The match.
Who we got, Fowler.
No, not Ricky Fowler.
Let's see.
How many
Koepka?
Golfers can you name? No, not Koepka.
Who's Spieth? The other guy? The Jordan Spieth. The Spanish guy. Who's the Spanish guy?
Cabrera Bayo?
No. He won the Masters a few years ago.
Oh, Molinari?
I know exactly who you're talking about. I can't think of his name, though. But no, Brandon, those answers are none of it.
Oh.
In fact, their tag team partners are not even golfers, but they are still athletes. Here it is, the match to
Sergio Garcia.
Sergio Garcia, that's it. Because then he had the horrible round the following year,
where
I'm pretty sure he got like the, I don't know, whatever the six count bogey is. So anyway, so here it is for the fifth time. The match, the sequel, Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning versus Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady.
Good.
Arguably, the two of the biggest individual rivalries of all time. Well, I mean, Tiger Phil, maybe not on that entire level, but, you know, still obviously two of the greats for their era. And then you have probably the best quarterback rivalry of all time, all coming together on the golf course. Are you interested? I guaranteed you would be, so I hope you don't fail me now.
By interested,
I'm not saying you got to go pay $60 for the pay-per-view. I'm not saying any of that. But as a thing, right? You get these four men on a golf course at the same time, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. How can you not be interested in that?
Are we going to get them mic'd up?
Oh, I guarantee you're going to get them mic'd up.
If they're mic'd up, I'm interested.
You think they talk smack at all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Are you kidding?
I don't know. I think it might be typical Peyton talk, which is like smack talk, but never actually that mean. I would love to see them just like have like a 1990s WWF kind of rivalry for those 18 holes. I think it'd be hilarious. That's the entertainment value to me. But nonetheless, that will be happening in May, I believe. Yes, May. So that pretty much does it for the first hour, but we still got so much more coming up. We have the final four of the Greatest Vol of Them All tournament. We got some more sports stories. We got so much stuff for the second hour. You won't want to miss any of it. Hey, phone line's still open. Don't go anywhere. Hour number two of the Blitz is coming up next.